Welcome to Voices of the Valley, a captivating podcast series that brings together some of the brightest minds in the agriculture industry. Straight from the field to your living room, we explore the challenges, innovation, and triumphs in modern-day farming and provide insight for consumers who are curious about where their food comes from. Welcome to this week's Voices of the Valley. I'm your host, Corey Lundy. Did you know that close to 1 million Americans cross the Mexican border every year to receive medical treatments, including many farm workers who split their time between the two countries? That's right, cross-border healthcare is growing in popularity as Mexico increasingly provides innovative, technologically advanced medical services at a cost savings for employers. More and more, Mexico is becoming a destination of choice for patients looking to receive their care outside of the U.S. In this week's episode, we join Western Growers Michelle Rivera and special guest Raquel Lugo, Western Growers Assurance Trust Senior Director of Client Services and Mexico Operations, as they discuss the role of cross-border healthcare in the agriculture industry, in particular for Spanish-speaking field workers and seasonal employees. By the end of this episode, we hope you gain a deeper understanding of how cross-border healthcare provides accessible, convenient, and high-quality medical services for those who grow and harvest our food.
Hello, this is Michelle Rivera, Communications Manager with Western Growers.
Hi, this is Raquel Lugo, Senior Director of Client Services and Mexico Operations for Western Growers Assurance Trust.
Thanks for joining us, Raquel. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thanks for having me.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about your role at WGAT?
Well, I do a little bit of everything. Primarily, I oversee client services for Western Growers Assurance Trust. So that means that I oversee the client service representatives and their supervisor. But then I also manage a network of providers across the border. So that's our Mexico program. The Mexico program was created in the mid-80s to address the needs of the farm worker community.
And that number continues to grow. And in terms of cost savings, Americans can save an estimated 40 to 60% across the most common major medical procedures in Mexico. Now, is that what you're seeing for our field workers?
Absolutely. That's what I'm seeing across the border as well. The farm worker community currently, well, not only the farm worker community, but everyone that accesses our program today can actually take advantage of zero copays. So for the member accessing services, it's very, very affordable. For the trust, this is also very affordable because we have very competitive rates when compared to the U.S.
And now, other than affordability, because that is a huge, huge deal, what benefits does the Mexico cross-border program offer farm workers seeking medical care?
Access. So people receiving services across the border can walk in to an office consultation, and I'm talking general practice. They can get a specialty care appointment within a week instead of waiting 3 to 4 weeks like we do in the States. Something else that is very popular is our 24-hour service. So people can access services at any time during the day, 24/7, at our contracted facilities. And that includes, of course, general practice and pharmacy. Something else that we've done that is working really, really well with our contracted facilities is that we're creating these one-stop shops. So when you go across the border to the contracted facility, you don't just access general practice and pharmacy. You can access radiology, imaging, lab, specialty care, cardiology units, so stress test, bone density scans, you name it, all under one roof. So again, accessibility, affordability, all in your language. That's why it's so, so popular.
Well, that's great. And I actually had the opportunity to join you and visit one of these facilities a few weeks ago in San Luis. And, you know, I was actually extremely, extremely surprised at how organized, how beautiful these facilities were. You know, I was expecting just, you know, a regular modern, you know, medical facility like we have here in the States. But I feel like what I stepped into was kind of like a 5-star hotel of medical facilities. But I went in there and, you know, I got shown around. I got the whole general checkup, I got my blood work done, and I see what you're saying about a one-stop shop where everything was done in-house. I got my results a couple hours later. So I was really, really impressed with what they have going on down there.
I'm glad you feel that way. I was very, very involved with this new building that you visited last week, as well as any other provider. But the reason why we're so involved is because we want to make sure that our member experience is superb. So it's not just crossing the border to access services, it's crossing the border to access the services that these people have earned with their hard work. And I think we're there. Again, people get quality care at no cost currently, except for their prescription copay. But for the trust, what that means is that they're offering quality care at a fraction of the price that we are paying here in the United States. And like you said, in many cases, in much better facilities, we have excellent physicians across the border. And so it's very, very comparable to stateside benefits.
Now, I want to ask you about yourself without getting too personal. I know you live in the States, you're in Yuma. And you shared with me that you go down and cross the border and receive your medical services there, right?
I do, and I've been doing it for over 20 years, my son and I. And so it just makes sense, right? I am 20 minutes away from the border. It's just easy for me. So if I'm not feeling well, you know, I call in, I say, I'm going across the border, I'll be right back. And that's exactly what happens. I go across the border, I get checked out, I get meds, and I'm back to work the same day. So that may not be the experience for everyone, right? But my experience is, again, easy, accessible, quick, and back to work.
And now I understand you play a huge role in building, fostering, and maintaining relationships with these providers in Mexico. What considerations are taking into account when you're selecting healthcare providers to work with?
We talked a little bit about this last week, right? I haven't hired a new provider in a while. Why is that? And I've been here for 29 years. So 29 years ago, we had a lot less providers. Our network was a lot more narrow. Today, the network has expanded. However, we have allowed to have our loyal contracted providers expand within their business rather than just hiring the whole city. Why do we do that? These are people that we trust, that again have been loyal to us. They have learned our way of treating our people. So their customer service that they provide, again, going back to that customer experience, they understand what we're trying to accomplish, which is not just offer an office visit, but really create this patient-physician bond so that the people, again, feel seen and that they feel that they are getting the care that they deserve and they have earned.
Now, I know a lot of people may have some concerns about crossing the border. For myself, I was with you and I know you've been back and forth across the border a lot. And it was my first experience crossing the border. So how do you ensure the safety and quality of health services provided when people are crossing the border, especially for the first time?
Well, let me start by saying this. For the most part, people that are accessing services are used to crossing the border because they either live across the border or they live on the border town. So crossing the border is something that just comes natural. But I could see the concern for someone that's never crossed the border like yourself. There's this perception about Mexico that couldn't be more wrong, if you will. And while border cities are not beautiful like, tourist cities, they're really very safe places. Why? Because we take care of people that come and spend their U.S. dollars across the border. And so when we crossed, you saw that it's very different. So at the very beginning, it's very shocking, right? Even in a border town on the States and then crossing to Mexico, there is that cultural shock, if you will. But once you were in our facilities, you found that it was, again, very comparable to the States. The customer service was good. And again, just all the hard work that we've put into that patient experience or member experience, if you will, has paid off. Border towns may not be the nicest towns in Mexico, because they're not, but they are the safest. And so, especially again, from a perspective of, again, member experience, I mean, you're just crossing the border. So you're going to stay within areas that are very, very safe. I do have some locations that offer transportation. So if someone is crossing for the very first time, we help mitigate that concern by picking them up at the border and bringing them back as well. So that's a way I can help people trust and be confident that they're going to be okay by sending that driver to pick them up at the border, getting their services, and then driving them back to the border.
That's actually a really interesting concept, especially for someone who's not used to crossing the border. Can you elaborate a little bit more on those services, of the transportation services?
Of course. So I don't have that available in every city, but I do have that available in Mexicali and Tijuana. All it is when you make your appointment, you advise the provider that you'll need transportation. And again, they'll either pick you up in their shuttle or they'll send an Uber driver to pick you up. You'll have all your services. They'll shuttle you around if you, again, we try to have everything under one roof, but occasionally we do have specialty care services that are outside of our contracted facility. And so if you're in the case where you've never been to Mexico and you need that extra TLC, they will drive you to wherever you need to go and make sure that you make it back to the border safely.
And one of the things that really stood out to me during my visit was I asked Dr. Raul Payan how many people come across the border to visit his facilities. And he said the percentage was 80-20. And automatically I was like, oh, 20% come across the border to use your facility. That's great. And he goes, no, that's the other way around. Actually, 80% come and visit the facilities. So it's really interesting when we talk about accessibility. If that many people are coming over, it's got to be accessible, right? Absolutely. It's working.
Absolutely. And I don't know if you recall, but he is 3 blocks away from the border. So people can walk there. People do walk there. And again, it's a 24-hour facility. So why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you access those services, right? They're free, 3 blocks away from the border. It's walking distance and all services under one roof. So it just makes perfect sense. It's a win-win.
And now in terms of locations, where are we in Mexico? How many facilities and how many cities are we in?
Right. So we have presence in 4 border cities: Los Algodones, which is a few miles north of Yuma; San Luis, which we're talking about San Luis, which is 12 miles south of Yuma. Then we're in Mexicali, which is the capital of Baja. And then Tijuana, everybody knows Tijuana. We are located according to our needs. As you know, Yuma is the winter vegetable capital of the world, so it makes perfect sense to contract in Algodones and San Luis, because from November through April, the Yuma population doubles in size, not only because of the winter visitors, but because of the farm workers. And so that's one of the reasons why we're in Yuma and in Algodones. Same thing for the Imperial Valley. So Mexicali is very close to Yuma. So many of our clients have operations in the Imperial Valley and Yuma. Tijuana is another location. It's the largest city in Baja California. And so it makes sense to be in that border town, which is the largest border town with California. And so with Tijuana, we service not only people on the border, but people all the way to the Kern County. So LA County, San Diego County, Santa Barbara, and again, all the way up to Kern County. It's really interesting when I say Kern County, because what happens in that area is that people rent vans and they carpool to Tijuana to get their services. So it's just an interesting way how people found, you know, a solution. Instead of everybody driving their own car, they're carpooling. So services in Tijuana are slightly different, where in San Luis and Mexicali, you see people that actually live across the border or they live in the border town. Tijuana, if I go to the provider during the week, I may not find a whole lot of activity because people are coming from farther away. And so they're peak during the week is Saturday and Sunday. So it's very interesting. Everything is programmed. There's hardly any emergencies in Tijuana, again, because they're far away. So they are getting the scheduled services versus the emergencies.
And now we talked about accessibility and how easy it is for someone to receive their services. Can you elaborate on the types of medical services that are covered under the Mexico program and how they're accessed 24 hours if they could just walk right in?
So when I talk about 24-hour services, obviously all the urgent care services are available 24 hours, pharmacy and general practice. Obviously, some specialty care is not available 24 hours or imaging, when it's not an emergency anyway. Imaging will be available at our 24-hour hospitals. But services available are anywhere from general practice, specialty care, which would include dermatology, gynecology, nephrology, neurology, you name it. I mean, if it's available in the city, I'll contract. There are a few services that I don't contract with, not because they're not available, but because technology in the States may be more advanced, or the service may not make sense to do across the border. For instance, dialysis. If I live in Yuma, Arizona, and I need dialysis 3 days a week, it doesn't make sense for me to be driving across the border for those services. So those are the services where we really consider every factor that may or may not compromise somebody's health. And that's when we say, you know what, these services for this individual may be best to have them in their hometown. But if it's available, I can certainly make it happen. We are opening or expanding our services more and more every day. Before, for instance, we never had any cardiovascular procedures across the border. Today, we're practicing catheterisms and angioplasties and so on. So again, as services become available, we expand our benefit. And as you know, because you toured the facility just last week, our top provider is building a brand new high-tech hospital, green building, which will help me expand these services so much more. So I'm very, very excited of what will come in 2025.
That's exciting. And even just talking about newly expanded programs, I understand that we actually include a nutrition program as well recently. Or in the past year.
That's correct. So what we've done to address the growing number of diabetics is that we've included services from a nutritionist. So anyone who's been diagnosed with diabetes or high cholesterol will be referred to the nutritionist. And the intention is that they not only take their meds and be compliant with their prescription treatment, but that these people learn how to eat. So the nutritionist is holding their hand, if you will, every step of the way. And what they do is that they measure their body fat. There's a body scanner that they have in-house, both in all three cities, Tijuana, Mexicali, and San Luis, that also measures body fat and muscle mass. And what they do is that they take the results of that scan and customize diets for these individuals according to their needs and their disease state.
That's great. Especially, you know, high cholesterol and diabetes are some of those health conditions that are pretty prevalent within the farm working community. Can you share any success stories or positive outcomes resulting from the cross-border program from any members that you've spoken with?
It's hard to single out one success story because, again, I've been here for 29 years, so I've heard many, many success stories throughout the years. But I'll tell you one success story that I'll never forget because it's one of our client service reps in Salinas shares this when he's working an open enrollment meeting. And he was talking about colonoscopy and the importance of having a colonoscopy, a timely colonoscopy. And this is in Salinas, right? And there was an individual in the group while Aaron was talking about the importance of colonoscopy. And this plan participant was saying, well, I have to meet my deductible. I just can't afford to do that. So Aaron was talking about how accessible the Mexico program is. And this is a few years ago. There were still copays, right? But even with copays, it was still a lot more affordable than performing the service in the States. So the individual programmed a trip down south. He had his colonoscopy. They found polyps. And I can't remember exactly what it was, but he was very timely with getting his colonoscopy done, where he prevented a possible cancer. And so that's something I can remember, again, because Aaron talks about it all the time as a success story. But story like that, I hear again all the time. We get thank you notes at our office, you know, after people getting surgical procedures. So there's a number of success stories that I can tell you. People trying to access a neurologist in the States, and they have to wait 2 months, where they call our office and, you know, we can facilitate an appointment within a week or within 3 days. So there's success stories, I think, every day when people are walking across the border or driving across the border to access services. So again, I can't pinpoint one, except for the one that Aaron talks about all the time, because I think that they happen every day.
So I know WGAT was one of the first to offer a cross-border program. You've been here 29 years. How has the program evolved over time?
So I said at the beginning that the program started in the mid-80s. So that was way before me, right? But I do know the history, and people were crossing the border to get services, paying for those services, and then we would reimburse. But we saw that what people were doing was so prevalent. Again, so many people were accessing services and having to pay from their pocket and then get reimbursed, that it just made sense to go across the border and contract with providers. So what started as a reimbursement program is now a program with an established contracted network. We have providers. Well, let me share this. After that, we had claim forms. So providers brought into our offices every month their claims, right? So these claim forms with written services, with our rates, and so on. And the way that providers got these claim forms was that people went to our office, they got their claim form, one per person. When they had to access services, they took that claim form to the provider. Provider filled it out, kept that until the end of the month, then submitted that claim to our office, right? Paper claim. And then we mailed it to Irvine where it was processed. There's a paper check that we gave the provider. Today, there's electronic billing. So providers got together to build a billing program. And what they do today, there's no more claim forms. Providers check eligibility just like providers here in the States. So they log on to our provider portal, Opus. So if you have your ID card, all we need is your ID card, a picture ID to make sure it's you, your ID number. They plug it into Opus, check eligibility, you get your services. While the provider is facilitating that service, he's building that claim. He or she is building that claim. So there's an office visit. If they ordered lab, they type in the lab that was ordered for you, prescriptions that you're taking with you, and so on. And so the claim is built at the time of the office visit. Then at the end of the month, it's transmitted to Irvine, where it is processed and then paid. So we've come a long way.
And now, can you talk about who has access to WGAT's cross-border program? Is it everyone on the WGAT plan, or is this some sort of add-on service?
It is not an add-on service. It's actually silver lining, if you will. It's accessible to everyone. Whomever is part of the trust, whomever's part of the health plan, has access to Mexico. So everyone, again, that is a plan participant is welcome to benefit from our services, experience the exceptional and quality care that you'll get if you decide to go across the border. So if you're out there and you haven't tried it, please do. Also, I'd like to say that I tour with our members. We tour the facilities with our members. So that's also a service that's available. I was actually out with DiRigo last week. So Marla Henry, Vice President of Human Resources, I believe is her title. Marla and her staff were with me last week touring the facilities in San Luis. She was so, so impressed. She sent a second part of her staff this week. So this week, there's a couple more people touring the facilities. So this is an experience that everybody should have. You know, you're part of the trust. You know that your employees are going out there. Why not visit the facilities and experience what your people, your employees are experiencing? So this is an open invite. If you're interested, please call and we'll schedule something.
In what ways has the program positively impacted the overall healthcare landscape for farm workers?
So when we think farm workers, we automatically think, and rightly so, the Hispanic community, right? The Hispanic community culturally does not access services unless they're sick, right? There's no such thing as preventative care. It's just not in our culture. So having services, having providers, I should say, that are culturally aware of the needs of this demographic is crucial. And so a person that would probably not seek care in the States, but has access to these providers cross-border, again, is more likely to have that care than in the States. So that's a way where I can say it has a positive impact, because there's many people that access services that would otherwise not.
Well, that's great. And I know you said culturally aware, and I think a huge, huge deal for these farm workers seeking care too, is they're speaking to someone in their language. So there's that comfort level as well.
Absolutely. The language barrier is something that holds back many, many people. And that's another thing. Again, culturally, we're just not going to go to the doctor or the dentist until something hurts. But if you add that you won't be able to communicate with your doctor or your dentist, you're not going to go. I mean, that's the bottom line. So having access to, again, services in your language, in your culture, where you're not just a number, where you're going to create that bond, makes a world of a difference to the people that put food on our tables.
Thanks for listening to this week's Voices of the Valley. Today's episode was produced by Michelle Rivera. We'd like to give a huge thank to Raquel Lugo for joining us this week to talk about cross-border healthcare. We have a lot more in store for this season of Voices of the Valley, so make sure you tune in each week and join us as we explore more about farming and our food system with some of the most well-respected experts in the industry. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on X and leave a comment to let us know your thoughts. You can find us at our handle, @WesternGrowers. We'll be selecting a few lucky recipients to receive a coveted Western Growers branded Stanley mug. That does it for this week's Voices of the Valley. I'm Corey Lundy, signing off. Thanks for tuning in to Voices of the Valley, a Western Growers production, produced by Corey Lundy, Ann Donahue, Michelle Rivera, Kara Timmons, and Julia Nellis. As always, we'd like to give a special shout out to our guest for joining us. Don't forget to like and subscribe to catch our future episodes, and we invite you to follow us on social media to continue the conversation.